rollings, come on, go down up and for no reason. Come soon inside up the room, better watch yourself out what we can do. We can just do what you wanna do. We can just feel like can treat you good. Wanna fly high on top of with you all around the world. And get lovely with you. And get lovely.
Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is a show that focuses on new and established songwriters from Atlanta, Canada, across Canada, and around the world. Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Songwriters from Here and Away. I'm Robert Campbell, and this week we have three songwriters in the room. These are professional songwriters. They've been writing for a number of years together. Lucy LeBlanc, I've known for many years. I've written a few songs with her. Bill O'Hanlon and Paul DeMarco. They get together every week, and they have hundreds of songs, thousands between them, and they are quite successful with their sync work and with getting cuts by artists and that kind of thing. We talk about their process a little bit, and we share some of their songs. So I'll jump right into the chat, and throughout the hour, you will hear music. There's way more than 1 hour of content that is really good, so the podcast will carry on well into the second hour.
How have you guys been writing together as a trio?
That's a good question. What do you think? Four years?
I'd say four, yeah, probably 4 years now.
I can find out exactly, but yeah.
Yeah. And you've been, lately I noticed that you've been getting together virtually every week or more often than once a week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Once a week.
We kind of started that right away. We gelled right away. It came about because I'm a member of Songtown. So is Bill. So is Paul. And Songtown's run by Marty Dodson and Clay Mills. Mm-hmm. And Clay Mills sent an email to Paul and I, and saying that he thought perhaps we would be good writing together, and introduced us to each other.
Right.
And told me what Paul's capable of, which is everything. Artist, producer, songwriter, the works.
And he has
and
a loose hat.
Me, which is mostly just lyrics. But right. Paul, Bill, that Clay also said that Lucy sets up three-way co-writes, and so she'll probably bring in someone else.
Right.
I got hold of Bill, said, would you like to be our third? And that's how it started.
Great. So it's not everybody that can write together. So you guys have gelled. I've had co-writes with one and two, three other people where it just hasn't worked. And that writing combination has never happened again because of that. What do you think makes the difference for you guys being together for this long? How does it fit? How does that work?
It's a little like dating. It's a little like getting married or relationship. It's hard to say. There's just a chemistry. I did look it up because you asked. Our first song we wrote in August of 2019, it was called Designs on You. That song turned out so well. That was our first hit. And Lucy actually submitted it to a songwriter competition in Texas. And that song won. I think, Lucy, you can tell that better than I.
I can't remember if it was in the rock version. Actually, when we, I'm going to back up a whole lot. That very first song we wrote, Bill came in with an idea. And maybe, Paul, you can expound on that idea. Remember that Bill brought in?
Yeah, I do. I remember because one thing that I think is really important and interesting, which I think is you're talking about the ingredients, why we work. All I can say is in the room when we're together, and it's a virtual room because we're all in different parts of the world, there's this level of trust, which is unusual because it wasn't necessarily earned trust because we didn't know each other before as a three. But there's this level of trust where we speak very freely in the room, which makes songwriting really easier to do. Because everyone just says what they feel, says what they think, and we're all considerate of that. So I remember Bill coming into the room, and Bill, you'd just been to the opticians, right?
Right. Hi, doctor. So yeah.
Bill had just been to the opticians to get his eyes checked, and as the optometrist reached over him to do something, he noticed she was like covered in tattoos, and he was like, I wonder what this girl's story is. You know, she's covered in tattoos, and he just wasn't expecting it. I think in that sort of setting, so we just started with that idea, and this girl had designs on her, you know, tattoo designs, and wondered what the story was. So we kind of combined our life stories in relationships and things and came up with this accumulative story of a guy who goes into a coffee shop, and as the girl's serving him, she reaches up for something and he sees this tattoo on her shoulder of a broken heart with wings, and he just thinks, wow, what does that mean? What's her story? And that was the birth of the song. That was our first song. So it was it came together.
Right now I'm going to play four versions of the song, but the first three just snippets of Designs on You. First one will be the Americana version, then a country pop version, then a rock version, then the acoustic version. So you get an idea of what they did with the four takes. I think it's quite fascinating, and it's a great song. Here it is.
Designs on you. I wanna see some more. I've got designs on you too. You're making this broken heart sore. Who knew that love could start with a torn tattoo? Got designs on you. Your heart, how did you rise above it? How did
Loved your style. When you go to ring my order, your t-shirt falls just off your shoulder. Then I see that tattoo, a different side of you, a broken heart with angel wings. You got designs on you. I wanna see some more. Designs on you too. You're making this broken heart sore. Who knew that love could start with a torn tattoo? Got designs on you. Who left that mark on you? Tell me who broke your heart. How did you rise above it? How did you make it through? There's a mystery about you now. You've gotten underneath my skin somehow. I wanna learn everything about those angel wings and uncover who you really are. You got designs on you. I wanna see some more. I've got designs on you too. You're making this broken heart sore. You got designs on you. Oh, I wanna see some more. Designs on you too. You're making this broken heart sore. Who knew that love could start with a torn tattoo? Got designs on you. Designs on you. Designs on you. Designs on you.
Years ago, when I started co-writing, I took a co-writing class through Songtown. They said, figure out what your strengths are. And I had written songs on my own before. So I did lyrics and I did melody. And, you know, so I thought, you know, what are my, I do it all. I play an instrument. I play a couple of instruments. But as time went on and as I wrote with more and more people, it emerged that usually my strengths are two, maybe three. One is I usually bring an idea. And almost for a few years, almost every time I wrote with a couple of other people, we'd use my idea because sometimes the other people would bring ideas too. Secondly, I write lyrics very fast. And it's funny because Lucy and I both write lyrics and, you know, Paul, again, sometimes I write melody and I bring in melodies to the three of us. But Lucy and I, for some reason, we work really well together on melodies. She's a little more precise than I am, and I'm a little more quick. Let's just right. say that. And so sometimes I go on so fast, I don't even stop to edit. And so she's good at like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense here. Or we were using you, not I, you know, and right. things like that. And then maybe because I used to be a therapist, I'm pretty good at bringing the best out in people. And Lucy's really good at doing rooms, creating rooms. And Paul's, as Lucy said, is creating everything. He plays instruments, you know, guitar and piano and bass. And, you know, he's just a great singer and he's a great writer. And, you know, so he brings that all. And for some reason, it's, as I said, like chemistry, it just gels with the three of us. And we all have other people that we write with. And sometimes is magical, but for the three of us, it's magical. After about four sessions together, we got together one time, we had a brief for a sync thing, and it was about a Western setting. And Paul brought in a couple of ideas, I brought in a couple of ideas, and we wrote five songs in less than 3 hours. And right. four of those songs, I think, have been signed to the sync things. And so it was just like, you don't find that very often. So we started to make it a more regular thing.
Well, I've seen some of the posts about how you guys have, you know, had some success with sync and with artists cutting tracks and whatnot. It's a tribute to the stick with itness concept. Paul, I listened to a number of the songs. I listened to all the songs that Lucy shared, and I noticed, Paul, that you're doing a lot of the production and singing on virtually all of them, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have a female singer that we use.
Right. So that really helps when you want to be able to shop something around for sync or to an artist. So you're the kind of the in-house producer, right? Do you guys ever send it out for someone else to do that stuff? Or do you just generally always do that, Paul?
I think there was a couple of times where we've looked for different singers. But pretty much, I think we've pretty much done everything in-house, you know, because the interesting thing is, apart from when we've hired female vocalists, there are limits to my abilities. What we found was there was nothing wrong with the singers that were doing the songs, but there's something about writing the song and then singing it, which carries weight. Right. That it's really that there are singers who I was thinking over here in Wales, we've got Sir Tom Jones, who incredible singer, Elvis Presley, for example. There are exceptions where people can take somebody else's song and sing it and you believe it. But what we noticed was when I sang the song, regardless of whether you like my voice or not, or whether it was a perfect vocal or not, we found that it was believable. You know, because right. I felt every single word that I was singing. I was part of the writing process. Often it's my story and Lucy and Bill embellish it. Sometimes it's their story and I embellish it. But there's little pieces of all of us in every song. Right. So I can really relate when the song gets performed. So it just made sense to just keep it in-house. Also, what helps with that is quite often we'll be pitching a song. We got a song called Best Damn Day of My Life, and we pitched that to a sync supervisor, and he said, love it, it's great, but the only problem is there are certain markets that wouldn't like the word damn.
That's great. We'll play that song right now.
Places. Don't need no one dragging me down.
You're listening to Songwriters from Here and Away, and we're in the room with Lucy LeBlanc, Paul DeMarco, and Bill O'Hanlon, three writers who get together every week and write great tunes. We will have a short pause, but first I'd like to mention that this show and other events that we're doing are sponsored by East Coast Realty. So if you're looking for sales or purchasing of properties in the Atlantic region or maybe across Canada, give them a call because they've been helping us and we can help them, East Coast Realty Limited. Before we go on, I'd like to mention sfhaa.ca. sfhaa.ca for Songwriters from Here and Away. We have all sorts of the previous broadcasts and other information about concerts that we do. And we also have a Patreon, so look up sfhaa on Patreon and join there. It can be free, and we will be having live streams and all that. Here we go, back to Lucy, Paul, and Bill.
My question was on that song. It's funny that you mentioned that because I was wondering about the origin of the tune, and I kind of like the out of tune sort of horns on it, right? That loose horn sound that you that you captured.
Yeah.
But and the word damn is a really light expletive. But do you guys think about that at the time, like when you're in the room at that moment, you're parsing out whether you should use that word or not, or darn, or how do you? So how did you deal with that?
We didn't think about it until a supervisor gave us feedback, but now we do since we've gotten that feedback. The other thing is, Paul, when you write with Paul, Paul has certain words that feel right in his mouth. And Lucy and I, mostly lyrics, and we're writing lyrics, and he'll say, no, that doesn't feel right in my mouth, or I can't sing it well. You know, it doesn't sing well. And so that word just did it. But yeah, we could make a different version because Paul has the original tracks and he sung it. Just the best day of my, instead of the best damn day of my life. So we're very cognizant of that for sync because sometimes you have to censor yourself a little to make sure you get in a commercial. They don't want the word damn in a commercial. It might be in a TV show or a movie, that would be fine, but...
But on the original write, the word was really important because the origin of the song was it was during lockdown, and I had this, like, everybody was complaining about lockdown and everyone was saying, oh, I can't go to the pub, I can't see my family, I can't see my friends, I can't do this, I can't go to work, and I just decided, well, we've been given the gift of time, you know, so how do I go through this, however long this period's going to be?
Yeah.
Do I fight it? Do I complain about it? And I just decided I was going to wake up every morning and make it the best damn day of my life. So the word damn was kind of important because it wasn't an expletive. We don't tend to use them, but it was almost like an emphasis. Right. The best day of my life. No, the best damn day of my life. Right. So it was kind of an added thing to that idea, you know.
Well, and we all, alliteration is good too, right?
Yeah. We all love that stuff, and the three of us are psychotically optimistic, so we tend to go for those positive songs.
After we got that feedback about not having the word in there, we do have a version with the word taken out.
Sure.
But it's just not as, to me, it's not as effective, if you will.
Right.
And then Paul decided to do a ska version.
I was wondering about that. It's just, it's like the punk tune that I guess did recently, So Wonderfully Weird.
that's my one of my favorites. Paul can really go UK punk sometimes cool. Rap and grime, and so it's cool.
Spins me out, then she swallows me.
in the case of the So Wonderfully Weird, was that a pitch that you saw a sync request come through, a brief?
No, I don't think it was. It was eventually. It was almost, quite often we'll write something before a brief arrives. Like, we don't know the brief is coming, right, and then we write a song anyway. So we wrote that song. I had this idea. I've been listening to a band called The Hives, and, you know, right, I teach at a rock school, and I do lots of different songs with the kids, and we had this high-energy punk thing, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a high-energy punk song? And so we write that, and then I think the following week I was in Liverpool away for the weekend, and this brief arrived, and I was, like, out the studio, and I'd messaged Bill and Lucy, and said, this brief's come out, Wonderfully Weird, it's perfect for it, can you deal with it? You know, so it was almost as if we have this theory that when that songs arrive, you know, and that all you need to do is have your antenna up, you just got to be listening,
right,
and when the song arrives, you got to capture it,
right,
and then it'll have some purpose in some way, some place.
Right,
and
right.
In this particular case, literally a week later, the brief arrived. So sometimes the brief comes, we write the song. Sometimes right, we write the song and the brief comes.
Well, the synchronicity of that is great. And so just to clarify, so for people who may not know the biz, a brief is when a advertising company or a record company or a artist or production house or whatever goes looking for a certain type of song. How do those come to you, and how has that changed now that you've gotten some more success? I imagine you have those direct connections too. So
we're all members of Songtown, and through Songtown they have different groups, and they call them the Edge groups.
Right.
And both Bill and I are in the Sync group. And within the Sync group, there are two different groups, one of which is called the Sync Up. And the Sync Up group gives you live briefs as they receive them. So you will get a live brief, but normally those briefs are due very quickly. Lots of times you won't have time to sit down and write the song if it's due within the day or within 4 hours. But if you've got a few days or a week, well, you can do that. So that is one I've been in for a number of years.
Another one, we got a brief, as Lucy says, usually the timeline is very quick. It's 2 hours, one day, maybe 2 days, maybe a week. And we got a brief from Chantel Ogden, who's a sync agent, and she said, well, there's this indie movie that's called Love in Tahiti, and they're looking for a song. And we wrote a song, as our usual, on our usual weekly thing. Paul produced it overnight. And because he's in the UK, Lucy and I got it in the morning, and we could get it in by the next day when it was due. And that song was placed in the movie Love in Tahiti. And it was the first song in the movie, and it's called No Ceiling. I think you have it, actually.
Let the sunshine and sky dive into the deep blue and find your place. Don't underestimate, take a firm hold of your space. Don't hesitate, 'cause there's no ceiling. Make it. Magic feeling. Be anything.
that's Paul on the production of that. It's sequenced a bit, eh? You like you got the underlying sequencer thing going on.
So what I used for that? Yeah, I used arpeggiators. Right. So I had a plugin which was like it works like an old synth, and I was just kind of. Getting that to work. Guitars are real. And then kind of, it's almost like a synth wave thing, kind of synth wave meets like pop, you know?
Right. Well, I on the intro, like on the guitar, the keyboard guitar part, it's kind of got this wacky out of tuneness thing going on, like this really neat conflict. And I love that. Right. And I didn't know what to think. And now, I mean, I guess I'd have to see the song in the movie to see how it sits in the placement, right? For where you set, where it got used.
Go on Amazon, you can rent it. But go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that because all supervisors, everything they say is subjective. You know, they kind of look at it from different angles. And one supervisor said, "Oh yeah, the guitar sounds slightly out of tune. You might want to fix that." So, and it was funny because I follow my gut a lot. So I was listening to the original version and I knew it was slightly out, but I kind of liked it. It gave it this weird chorusy effect. So so I left it. Anyway, supervisor gives some feedback. So I went, okay, fine, let's do that. So I went back and I played the guitars again, retuned it and everything. It was rubbish. It just didn't feel the same. I heard a really good story of Jimmy Page was in the studio with a producer, Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin, and he was recording some guitar parts. And he decided to retire for the evening. He went upstairs to bed and the producer just was tidying up the tracks, you know, bringing things into line and kind of, there was a few sloppy timing bits. So he put them, you know, lined everything up so it sounded better.
Right.
Jimmy Page came downstairs the next day and said, throw up those tracks. I just want to have a listen to what was recorded last night. So he starts playing it and Jimmy Page jumps out of his seat and screams, stop the tape, what did you do? And the guy was like, what do you mean, what did I do? He said, it sounds wrong, what did you do? He said, I just lined things up and put things in order. And he said, well, put them back. Because the idea is that those imperfections are what we love about the songs that we love. Right. And that was a great example. Yeah, out of tune guitars, it works.
Yeah. AI will never be Paul with a slightly out of tune guitar. That's right.
Fighting them all the way.
That's one of the topics that I had, the whole concept of AI and how you see that impacting what you guys do or the industry in general, because it's a big train rolling down the track that no one really knows which switch is going to get pulled and where that train is going, right?
Well, all I have to say is in our writing room, we'll never need AI because we've got Bill. You would not believe how fast those words and lines come out.
I'll do a John Henry thing and go up against ChatGTP for writing lyrics to a song. Mine will make more sense and I'll be just as fast.
A friend of mine just said, we are AI. I have 68 years of stuff going in my ears and 60 years of stuff going out of my fingers, but it's still an AI, it's still an intelligence machine putting out the stuff. So I think this is very apropos to mention that you have three intelligence machines collaborating and feeding each other. And I think it's a very unique and incredible thing that AI will not be able to achieve for decades.
Or will never be able to achieve the emotion.
Maybe.
You know, it's three people together. Yeah. You're kind of thinking like one brain, but more than that, you're sharing one heart. And that heart is what's going to bring out the emotion. And tell me, will AI ever be able to feel it?
Yeah,
that's a question we can't answer, I feel.
Oh, I think that's right, until it evolves, and we'll see. But yeah, I think what we're really doing with music is we're putting emotion to a rhythm and a melody. And I think, you know, that emotion is so grounded in people's bodies. Like Paul, when we're writing, it was like, that doesn't feel right in my mouth. Now, you know, unless you're an AI robot who's got some sort of sensory program like that, you're not going to be able to say that. And also the wonderful accidents. So like, you know, when jazz players play the wrong note and then they play it over again and it becomes part of the solo. Yeah. There's a little of that accidental, like you say, you know, you're taking input all the time. We get ideas everywhere. Lucy is really good at listening. So we'll be talking and she'll go, well, we ought to write that. That's the song we ought to write. Forget these ideas we were just talking about. Right. Lucy will say, you just said this, or we just said this, or this is what happened. We got to write that song. So it's that randomness and accidental stuff that when you get to perfection, that can be a little problematic because right. machines are good at getting to perfection, and right. humans are good at messiness, I think, and emotion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as three gentlemen in a room with a woman with a superlative wordsmithing, we can all give a nod to Lucy LeBlanc. I know that for sure.
And she's written millions, probably hundreds of thousands of words and songs by now.
Yeah, yeah. We love you, Lucy. Just got to say that. I don't necessarily keep that in the show, but, you know,
we should.
That's right.
If I could just backtrack a little bit, right down back to the very first song we wrote, yeah. that Designs on You, Paul right away created three different versions of that song in a production. One was a rock production, one was country, and one was Americana. And we put it out on Facebook, hey, here's this production, what do you think? Here's another production, what do you think? And people would weigh in on their favorites. And it wasn't unanimous. People, some people this, some people that, some people. For me, I gravitated to the rock one. And then there was this little song contest at Austin, Texas, the Austin Songwriters. And I submitted that for the rock group, and yeah, it won an award there. Right. So
you're listening to Lucy LeBlanc, Paul DeMarco, and Bill O'Hanlon, three writers, one from Vancouver area, one from the United States, and one from UK. We hope you are enjoying it. Please look us up online. We have all the social media stuff, and we have the podcast as well. We're going to make this one an extended podcast version. So once the radio show is done, the songs and chatter continue on the podcast. So check it out. Look up Songwriters from Here and Away on your favorite podcaster. Here we are, back to the show.
The different versions, have they been picked up in various versions or just...
I do a lot of pitching and I go with what my gut tells me. And for me, it's the rock version. So that has been signed by a sync agent, the rock version. Right. Yeah, that's yeah. the one I gravitate to. That's the one I pitch, right? Yeah.
And the interesting thing with that as well is because the rock version was pitched, and obviously it's the master of the track and the lyrics that they sign, but we kind of held back on pitching the other two because the lyrics were exactly the same. However, we had a brief come in wanting a particular type of lyric, and we actually used the track from the Americana version to create a completely brand new song with a completely new lyric. And that came out really well. I also play the song live acoustic, and I do it a fourth way. I do it completely different when I play it live.
And here's that song. It's called Same Old Round and Round, and it's built on top of the bed track that we heard earlier for the song Designs on You, the Americana version. Same Old Round and Round.
Soul-sucking shit begins. The hours go by in an endless hum, unloading stack boxes until it's lunch. Rinse and repeat and wish for quitting time. Think I'm going out of my mind. Would you believe I
think this kind of thing for songwriters, especially writing independently, a solo writer, not doing co-writes and not getting into the production end of stuff, it's very easy for us to navel gaze and not get outside our comfort zones of styles and production and ideas. And we all have our crutches that we rest on when we write, but I think it would be great to experience some of that variety to see that, yeah, you move outside the comfort zone, right?
I had someone ask me, one of my songwriting partners asked me, because music supervisor for TV and movies, commercials, was asking for clean rap songs. And he said, come on, you're the lyric guy. Will you write a rap song? I said, no, I will not write a rap song with you. I listen to a little of it, but not that much. And he twisted my arm and I ended up having a good time. And then I brought Lucy in for the next one. And we wrote a rap song with the same guy. And then Paul, Lucy and I have written some rap songs. It's kind of nice to be pulled out of your comfort zone, as you say, and out of your usual patterns to do something that really stretches you. And the nice part about, you know, like I'll write one song a year by myself just to remind myself I can do it. But I love co-writing. And what I love about it is that it pulls me into new directions, that kind of synergy of two or three people writing a song. And the other thing is you got three people putting that song out in the world, you know, that, you know, because it's a lonely business, all right? And I say it takes a village to get a song out in the world. It takes a village to produce it. It takes a village to pitch it. It takes a village to write it and all that stuff. So I actually love this kind of team, this kind of team that we have.
Too many times I never thought that I could blind myself to the vibes, but now I'm drinking down a bucket of pride. Been high on life and I'm flying inside. Hey, 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 what you say? Whoa, 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 wanna tell you how it's gonna go. Kind of sound, gonna bring it around, and I'm bound to show you how. Open your eyes and watch me now. I'm down with the house, I'll be saying it loud.
This is Daddy O by the Doll Group, of course, and that's Paul DeMarco singing.
We call ourselves Doll, which is based on our last initials, right. And we use two of Lucy's, but you know, it's Paul DeMarco, Bill O'Hanlon, and Lucy LeBlanc. She gets two yes. because she's yeah. the writer, she's the lyric person, so she gets that.
I was looking at the name, and I realized that you have all three of you have a syllable last name, DeMarco, LeBlanc, you know, so O'Hanlon.
O'Hanlon, yeah, it's all the of. It's all right? the
all
of.
Three
of
it. Oh,
yeah.
I thought, man, you couldn't have planned that better.
I don't notice that.
I'm going to ask Paul a question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You mentioned when you're playing Designs on You live, you do a different version. What would you call that version that you're doing live?
Well, it's at my acoustic gigs, and every single recording of the song that we've got is kind of more full production. And I think it's a really good test of a song, the fact that you can sit down with a guitar or a piano and play it, and it still works as a song. So I'll be honest with you, Lucy, I don't really know, because I think I play it slightly differently every time I play it. I pick up the guitar and I'm sometimes fast, sometimes slow. The chords don't really change, but it moves. So I just tell the story.
Paul DeMarco singing On the Wrong Side, written by the Doll Group. Got just a little bit more chat. We are definitely going to go after this little bit to the podcast. There's a whole bunch more on songwriting and all the features that they wanted to share, almost an hour or more. So we hope you go to the podcast. Look up sfhaa.ca. You'll find it all there.
Well, I have to say thank you to Paul because I just got my my BMI earnings this quarter, and Paul's been playing some of our songs out, and those are showing up on my BMI statements, and they're adding to my BMI statements. I play songs out as well, and so I get some of that live performance royalty, and Paul's been doing a great job. He's out there two or three times a week playing with on his own or with a group that he has, and sometimes our songs show up on that list. And you can make a lot of money. Again, another reason to write with other people. They may go out and play your songs. They may record them and release them. Lucy and I have had a bunch of songs released that were recorded and released by our co-writers. That's mm-hmm. the easiest way, as they say, writing with artists. Right. Paul's an artist. We write with Jan Edwards, who's another artist. Right. She puts out stuff a lot. And so that helps us get our music out in the world. And again, that co-writing thing has been so essential for my learning about how to be a better songwriter. Right. Not only in the room, you don't get caught in your own head and is this good, is this right? But you also get the feedback right there. Somebody goes, I don't know, that line seems kind of cheesy. Or, wait a minute, we changed the rhyme scheme for the first verse. That's not right.
That raises a question I had. How do you resolve those differences of opinion? So how do you deal with those little issues in the room?
Thanks for tuning in. Catch the rest on the podcast.
Visit The Screening Room, Kingston's only independent movie theater located downtown at 120 Princess Street. They specialize in playing art house, international classic, and cult cinema, along with Hollywood's best new releases. People also always say they have the best popcorn in town. Visit Screening Room at screeningroom.com.